Welcome, precious child of God, to yet another life-changing message from Reverend Sydney Alamensa. Reverend Sydney is the head pastor of God is Our Light Church, City of His Presence. He is a man of God who operates in the healing, prophetic, and teaching ministries. Today, the man of God takes us through a sermon titled, The Little Fox of Fear. This is part two. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Father, we bless you. We're always faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I welcome you to the believer service. Amen. And I want to believe God that you'll be a blessing tonight. Amen.
Amen.
We want us to go straight into the Word of God as we've been dealing with the little fox called fear. And you cannot just walk as a believer and be fearful, because scripture teaches a lot of things and give us a lot of antidote and a lot of solutions to conquer the spirit of fear. Hallelujah. And I want to believe that even as we close the year in 2023, you would want to be able to master or control what is called fear. Hallelujah. And I said that there are times where sometimes, you know, people cannot just even sleep alone in their room, and they cannot even, you know, put off their light and sleep because they are fearful. And, you know, as a believer, you shouldn't walk in your Christian life or be a follower of Christ and be fearful. It's something that is really not good. Hallelujah. And I thought about the solutions or what we have to know in order to stand upon and kill what is called a little fox of fear. And I said in Psalm 23 verse 4, and I said that the Bible says that, yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comforted me. And that is a word, that is the word of God that we should walk with as believers. That the word of God says that you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and says that you fear no evil, for he is with you. Who is with you? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is with you. So what, that I might not what sin against thee. Hallelujah. So we should have the word of God in us, and professing scriptures. You are professing the word of God into areas where you see that there is something called fear in there. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we said that one thing that we need to know is that, okay, I fear no evil. Look at somebody, say, fear no evil. I've seen some vehicles, they've written at the back, see no evil, fear no evil, you know. But the truth of the matter is that if I say I fear no evil and I fear no terror for the night, then what can I do not to fear that? I believe in the word of God, all right, but what can I do not to fear that? And I gave you the answer, that what you can do not to fear that is for you to fear no evil, see no evil, fear no evil, as some people will say. The answer is that you as a person, you as a believer, your dwelling place should be what? Under the Most High. Your dwelling place should be under the shadow of what? Of the Almighty. Who is the Almighty here? God. Hallelujah. So if someone says, see no evil, fear no evil, but the truth is that evil is there. If you don't see it, it is still there. Hallelujah. But the truth is that if I have to kick out fear in me, then I need to master and I need to learn. I want to repeat. I need to learn how to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. So the answer to not fearing as a believer is that you need to what? Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Next verse, please. Verse 2. Let's read together, church. We are reading to verse 7.
I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust.
Hallelujah. In him will I what?
Trust.
Next verse, please. Surely He shall deliver thee
from the snare
of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Next verse, please. We are reading to 7.
He shall cover thee
with his feathers.
And under the wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be a shadow.
And buckler. Next verse. Thou shalt not be
afraid
for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by
day. For the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at the noonday.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now go back to verse 5, 91 verse 5, and let's read it loudly. And 5, it says that
thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I look at somebody and ask, how will you not fear? Hallelujah. How? And the solution is that if you will not fear, you need to abide under what? The shadow. Am I communicating? Say, me wo, me senya mi mwa, me shro. Utimasiye. Because, utwa mi hu shia, obo mi hu bain. Odi natabain, eyeden, ekatamisu. Hallelujah. I need not to what? Not to fear. Amen. Somebody say, fear shall not dwell in my house. Hallelujah. So it's a matter of where you choose to dwell. And some of us, sincerely, we've chosen to dwell at different places. And that is why this thing about fear is always chasing us. Hallelujah. I can tell you some people are that afraid that they are afraid of their own shadows. That when they see their shadows, they begin to jump. That's the depth of the fear. Hallelujah. Some are that afraid that when they hear some wind blowing at the back of their window, they begin to imagine some corpse they saw some years ago. Hallelujah. Some are so afraid that any time is 1 a.m. dawn, they don't sleep. They will sleep, it will be about 4 a.m. Some are so afraid that any time you mention a witch or a wizard, you spoil their day. They will be afraid the entire day. Hallelujah. And imagine that person that even watches a horror movie is dead already. And you have a believer that is so gripped with fear. And even if you want to talk about the normality of life, that everything he or she thinks in his or her mind that I want to do, he or she is afraid. You see, and that's the degree of fear. And some of you will not pray prayer topics like that. Like, Lord, anything called fear, let it not come to my house. No, I give you a prayer topic. Hallelujah. It's either we bind some grandmother or grandfather somewhere. But to bind fear from our life, no. Hallelujah. But fear can destroy businesses. Fear can destroy opportunities. Fear can destroy destiny helpers. And that is what we don't know. So fear is a little fox. If it comes into your vineyard, beloved friend, brother, it will destroy everything that you have worked all these years. Fear. And that's what I'm teaching you. So for one to find his or herself in a place where you have that deep relationship with God, that is where you can say that I am covered by him. His feathers or his shadow is around me and my life. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. So I said that when we receive the Holy Spirit, we have spiritual power. Somebody say spiritual power. Say spiritual power. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and it talks about the power that we have received. Hallelujah. Is it there? Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It says that, It says that, let's read together. It says, but ye shall receive power.
After the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness in both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth.
And utmost what? Part of what? The end. Hallelujah. And you see, the power is primarily used to witness, because it says that, and the power shall come upon you, and you shall be what? You shall be witness. Are you understanding me? You shall be witness as what? As a disciples. But with this power comes an element of authority. I want to repeat it again. Hallelujah. Please stay with me. With this power to witness comes with an element of authority which God has given to you. Somebody say authority. With this power, it comes with what? An element of what? Of authority. And in fact, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, it reflects on that authority. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. Hallelujah. Let's travel right now. Let's travel to 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. It says that let's read together. For God has not given us the spirit of fear.
But of power and of love and of a sound mind.
And of what? A sound mind. God has not given us what? The spirit of fear. So this scripture is telling us here, and Paul is trying to let us know that he's just disclosing. You see, you already have it. Are you understanding me? You already have that. Someone say power. You already have that power. And Paul is letting the people know that you have it. So he says that God has given what? Us. He's given, it means that, or the amount that other. Are you understanding me? He has already what? Given you. So he's saying that God has given you power. Someone say power.
Power.
He's giving you power. He's giving you love. And he's giving you what? Sound mind. And this is to overcome what? This is to overcome what?
Fear.
Am I teaching? This is to overcome what? Fear. It says that, for God had not given us what? The spirit of fear. But what? Power. So power, love, and sound mind, it conquers what? The spirit of fear. Three things. Power, love, and sound mind, it conquers what? Fear. Am I communicating? So Paul is saying that, listen, you don't have to pray for it. You already have it. He says you don't have to what? Pray for it. You what? You already have it. That divine power is in you. Somebody say, I already have it. I have it in me. Hallelujah. It's already what? In me. And Paul is addressing the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. Go there for me. Chapter 1 verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. Let's read together. Ephesians chapter 1 verse. It says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling
and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints.
Hallelujah. That your eyes will be what? Will be what? Enlightened. Are you understanding me? So he's saying that it's something that you do not have to pray for. You already what? You have it. Are you understanding me? And that is why people pray some prayer. They say, I claim it. It's already with me. It's already what? In me. Hallelujah. And fear seeks to cause us to forget our position in the kingdom of God. Fear will always cause you to forget your position in what? In the kingdom of God. Am I communicating? Fear will let you know that you don't have any power. Fear will let you know that you don't have sound mind. Why can't you sleep? Hallelujah. Fear will let you know that you don't have sound mind. You don't have love. Am I communicating? And that is what fear is. So when fear enters your vineyard, which is your soul or your life, it begins to what? Let you know, or it makes you forget your position in the kingdom of God. It makes you forget who you are. Because how can you step in life and not have courage and not have power and not have sound mind and not have love? Because there is a little monster called fear that is telling you that you are a nobody and you will continue to fail in life. And it will continue to speak to your mind and speak to your heart. And you begin to see visible things that are happening to you. But Paul is addressing Ephesians, saying that God has already given you that what? That sound mind. He's giving you that love. Am I communicating? And that's what is happening now. He says that your eyes may be enlightened. How will your eyes be enlightened? Some of these teachings will give you what? Enlightenment. Am I communicating? Am I teaching? Somebody say, I have that power. So the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost gives us that ability. Hallelujah. It gives us what? That ability. Amen. So I believe that, you know, these scriptures were written for us for one day that some of us will read and our eyes will be what? Will be enlightened. Amen. Our eyes will be enlightened. We'll come to know that indeed we have this power. I want to believe God that tonight somebody listening to me will come to believe or come to know that I have that power. I have that power. I can conquer fear in my life. Somebody say, I have that power. Say, I have that power. So go back to 2 Timothy 1:7 and let's read again. It says that for God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of what?
Sound mind.
Of sound mind. And this love here is the love of God. It's not your kind of love. Am I communicating? Is the what? Is the love of what? Of God. What's the love of God? The love of God is selfless. The Bible says he sent his only begotten son to come and die for you and I. And I want to use this opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, you want to give your life to Jesus. And this is a selfless love. Am I communicating? It's what? It's a selfless love. He sent his son to come and die for you and I. He knew that one day you would sin. And therefore he sent what? His son to come and die what? For you. Hallelujah. And this is the selfless love that God is giving to us. Not that kind of human love that will succeed today and fail tomorrow. Not that kind of human life that can promise you heaven and earth. Am I communicating? This is about the selfless love of God. There's a songwriter, I say, reckless love of God, that he can leave everybody and go for one. Chase one. And that's why scripture makes us understand that when a soul is one, there is so much joy in heaven. One soul is one. There is so much joy in heaven. Hallelujah. So that kind of love, when it comes in you, because it's so selfless, can you imagine the love of God in you? It conquers fear. The love of God tells you that, tarry on, tarry on, tarry on. You get to that destination. It conquers fear. The love of God told the prodigal son that, listen, go back home. Go back home. Even if you go home and then you are taken as a slave, it's better than to eat what the food that is given to the pigs. Are you understanding? And Jesus is teaching that, that kind of love welcomes you. Are you understanding me? The guy was afraid. He was so fearful at one point in his life until love started reaching out to him. Love started telling him, guy, man, you have to go back home. Go, you need to go back home. And then finally he go. And when he go home, his father was so much happy, he threw him a party. That's the selfless love it can do. And anytime that love is seen in your life, it conquers fear. It conquers that creeping little monster, little fox in your life called fear. It takes it away totally. Fear says that you can't come back to God when you are found in a place of sin. But love says that, come to me and I will forgive you. I'll make you a better person. I'll make you a new person. Fear says no. No, God will not receive you. But love says, come to me, I will receive you. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he says that what? I give you what? Sound what? Sound mind. I've talked about power. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost, the power that is enabled by the Holy Ghost. Are you understanding me? The divine ability that comes upon you. The indwelling power of what? Of the Holy Ghost. Am I communicating? That power that comes upon you and you are able to touch things and they are transformed. That power that comes to you and you're able to witness to that person that you've never witnessed to before. Hallelujah. That power comes to you and that person that is drunk, in your family or in around your place, and you want to what, witness to him. There is some power that comes upon you. Fear cannot take control over you. And that's why you are able to witness and do certain things. Say, ah, is it me? Is it me? Am I the one who was able to do this? Hallelujah. That's the enabling power of the Holy Ghost. Am I communicating? And that conquers fear. Don't look at some tender coming from heaven as some power. No, that's not the power you're talking about. Hallelujah. Am I communicating? We are talking about the enabling power that comes from the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And that power comes upon you and it takes everything which is called fear away. Somebody say, it's living my life. It's living my life. You see, let me talk a bit. Let me say something about love. That the love of God is so powerful that it takes away our carnality in our lives as well. Am I communicating? It takes what our carnality in life as well. That sometimes we want to fulfill our own desires. And the love of God says, no, come to me. I can make you what a better person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you that as you hear this word about this little foxes called fear that has gripped your life and taken some area of your life, and some of you are listening to me and watching me now, and you can attest to it that there is some area in your life that fear has taken control. You cannot, it's like a politician say, we've locked, you know. No, let me just continue. Hallelujah. Amen. That fear has just locked some area of your life and given the keys to the IGP. That before you go for the keys, you are in trouble. Hallelujah. But the Lord wants to let us know and teach us that fear can be conquered. Somebody say, fear can be conquered. Say, fear can be conquered. It says that I've not only given you power and love, but you also have what? Sound mind. Amen. And the last defense for us is sound mind. And sound mind give us the ability to be able to have the idea to be disciplined in mind. Somebody say discipline. So disciplined mind moves us against fear. Because it allows self-control. It gives us temperance. And it gives us the ability to be able to control something completely. Hallelujah. Like some say, I'm disciplined that I will not eat this and this and this and this. Even if I go to a party and they bring it. Like some say, I'm cutting down on cake. And they invite you to a party. They cut it into four. And the waitress, right, you know, or that lady comes and say, sir, cake, and you look at all those icing on it, and you turn left, right, you look back, Reverend is not there, he didn't do that teaching, and then you look at that case, and you see the places, there is no too much light there, so people can't see your face well, and then you take the cake, you bite one here, bite the back, bite the left, and now you drink the malt and you belch and you are like, ah, the Lord is faithful. You are doing yourself harm. Hallelujah. This is not the Lord is faithful thing. This is being what disciplined. Are you understanding me? And some of us, that's the area, that's our problem. That's our difficult area. That we cannot be disciplined. And that sound mind there, it gives you the ability for you to be what? To be disciplined. Are you understanding? I am sound minded in this particular area. It's not like you are intellectually sound. Am I communicating? I'm sound minded in this particular area. Hallelujah. And it gives me the ability to be able to have good temperance and to completely control some things in my life. Hallelujah. There are some things you must struggle to control. But as you begin to tilt yourself towards that and know that God has not given you the spirit of fear. Hallelujah. But he's giving you sound mind. You know that you have the ability to control what? This thing in your life. Amen. And you see, sound mind allows us to experience success with something that is being prolonged in our life. Like, you know, somebody who is proud in an area, you know, you have bitterness in your life, there you feel like you are hopeless and all that. Sound mind is able to what, give you a good platform for you to step on and say, let me move forward. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. Some of you have read this scripture several times, but what can that sound mind do for you? He says, I've not given you fear, but I've given you what? I've given you sound mind. So the only way that a disciplined mind will actually function is what? The only way a disciplined mind can actually function will be based on what? A strong word, the word of God. If I can have sound mind, I need what? The word of God. Somebody say the word of God. I cannot be sound mind if I do not have what? The word of God. If I am scripturally imbalanced, I need to be balanced when it comes to scripture. Am I communicating? Other than that, I cannot have what? I cannot have that what? That sound mind. And all of these belong to a spirit-filled man who decide that I'm going to walk in it. And what God gives the person is power, is love, and what? And sound mind. But I need to decide that I want to walk in these graces that God has given to me. Other than that, the spirit of fear will what? Will control you. And it's a spirit. It's not something, it's intangible. It's not tangible. Hallelujah. That's why spirit of fear can move from here and go here. Hallelujah. And that's why some of us, we need to be careful about some places we go. There's so much deliverances and all that. You need to be strong. Some spirits are casted out here and there, where they are looking for place to enter. Hallelujah. They are looking for places to enter. So immediately they are cast, they are looking at, where can I enter? Hallelujah. Imagine you have spirit of fear grade 5. And another spirit of fear is casted. So more spirit of fear. It means that for you, even when there is light, you still have to go and buy a torchlight and on it, you know, just to see your part. Hallelujah. Spirit of fear that you cannot do anything meaningful in life. No. He says that I didn't give you the spirit of fear, but you have power, you have love, and you have what? You have sound mind. Hallelujah. Another way to overcome fear is to walk in authority. Somebody say walk in authority. You need to walk what? In authority. But for you to walk in authority, you need to understand what authority is. Am I communicating? Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 again. Second aspect, chapter 1. It says that God would, let's read together, 1:7. God had not what? You know, this scripture, when you hold this scripture, it gives you what? Authority. Are you understanding me? For you to overcome fear, you need to walk what? In authority. If I say I have power and I have love and I have sound mind, I need to be able to command that word in my life. Am I teaching? Are you following? I need to what? I need to command that word in my life. And that is why Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27, it says that neither give place to what? To the devil. So the Lord is saying that we must walk in that God-given authority that He has given to us, so that we do not allow the enemy what to push this thing in our life. It says that neither give place what to the devil. And James chapter 4 verse 7, it says that submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will what? He'll flee from you. So you look at both of these scriptures and you understand that fear cannot be allowed to control what? Our lives. We need to confront it. Instead of running away from it, you confront it. Some people say, for me, I don't pray against powers of the enemy. If I don't touch them, they won't touch me. Who told you that? Hallelujah. That for me, anytime pastor raises, let's pray against powers of the enemy, they keep quiet. They don't want to praise it. I don't want trouble, so trouble don't chase me. It doesn't work like that. Hallelujah. You need to command what that authority. You need to confront what fear. As long as fear remains in your life, it will wreck your life as a believer. Am I communicating? It will wreck your life as a believer. And if you look at the Old Testament, there is this character there, Gideon. Gideon. And you look at Gideon and how fear gripped Gideon. It took the angels of God to strengthen him. Fear is a problem in a believer's life if it is not handled, if it is not confronted. Hallelujah. Somebody, I want you to say, I will walk in that authority. Come on, say, I will walk in that authority. And I will not give place to the devil. I will submit to God. Say, I will submit to God. You see, all these components from scripture, when they are put together, they can conquer fear. They can do what? They can conquer fear. Can you imagine that you've been given a report and you are so much afraid? You need a word of God. He says, I didn't give you the spirit of fear. He gave me power. He gave me love. He gave me sound mind. Am I communicating? So when we put all these scriptures together, we find ourselves in a place of what? Of authority. And we walk in that what? In that authority. And fear will not have that upper hand upon our lives. Amen. When I travel to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Let's read together. If it's there, let's read together. Do you know that fear? Look at me. Do you know fear? Fear, some, if you are gripped with too much fear, you focus on yourself instead of what is ahead of you. You always can't move forward. You're always focusing on yourself. So all the time, no, it's about what? Yourself. It's not about what is ahead of you. It's not about being the next trailblazer. It's not about being the next icon. It's not about being the next generation. Be the next person that does this thing. You are always focusing what? On yourself. And Gideon said that, I cannot do anything. This war, I cannot fight it. Are you understanding? I cannot fight this war. So we should not allow fear to take upper hand on our life. And some have said, if I look at my family, my sister failed, my mom failed, my dad failed, my brothers failed. And that is what fear can do. It wants to put what? An upper hand upon you. And now, instead of you focusing on what is ahead of you, you are focusing on yourself. I am not sure I can do it. But he says, I've given you power, I've given you sound mind, and I've given you what? Love. Let's read together. He said, there is no fear. It's not made perfect in love. So perfect love casts out all fear. But focus becomes God. Focus becomes Godward. And lead us to self-what? Denial. So there are times where in the moment of confrontation of fear, the mechanism of the devil is to let us focus on ourselves and even sometimes the bad situations that are happening to us. So sometimes the books are open and your mind is casted upon every bad situation that happened to you. And you are afraid. The books are open and everything is there. And that is why I believe that we must pray for boldness to enter, just like as the apostles did. Pray for boldness. Somebody said, pray for boldness. And some of these places the apostles enter, as I travel to Acts chapter 4 verse 13. Hallelujah. Some of these areas of boldness the apostles did. It says that now when they saw the boldness of Peter and what? And John, is there? Tilt your neck a bit for me. And perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they muffled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with what? With Jesus. May we walk in that boldness in the name of Jesus Christ. they perceived that they were what? Unlearned. But they were muffled by the knowledge that they carried. Hallelujah. And that is the kind of boldness that I pray that we will walk into. Amen. If we do not walk in that authority of the Spirit, that little fox will have that ability to destroy our vineyard. If you look at some family, fear has gripped them from the top to the bottom. Even the children are afraid. And you could see the result of what fear is doing in their lives. Some people are so afraid that they can't take the next step in their life. But he says, I didn't give you the spirit of fear for that little fox, that creepy monster, to destroy your vineyard, to destroy your life, to destroy your family. But I gave you power. I gave you sound mind. I gave you what? Love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I am believing God that all these devices of the devil, they are subtle, they are camouflaged, they are hidden. All these devices of the enemy just to put fear in our life. I don't know who I'm teaching tonight, but there might be fear in an area of your life. And tonight you want to believe God that as I have heard the word of God, that fear is going to leave me in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. One other thing as I close with this that can help you to deal with the spirit of fear is to stir up the gift. Somebody say, stir up the gift. Say, stir up the gift. Hallelujah. The last thing that can help you to overcome fear is the stirring of what? Of the gift. The gift of God that he has, say, the gift of God that he has placed in me. In me. Say, I have the gift of God in me. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, King James Version. Let's read together. Church, he said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of what? Of my hand. You see, stirring up the gift awakens boldness in our heart. But you see, fear causes men to be hesitant, and it put them in a state of being reactive. But scripture says that we need to what? We need to stir up what? The gift of God. Boldness causes one to leap from, you know, being offensive and go into opposition. Boldness helps one to leap from one level of his life to the other level of his life. Am I communicating? But you see, how can you stir up the gift of God in you? Number one, by reading the Bible. You can stir up the gift of God in you by reading the Bible. And I have done a lot of teachings about, you know, how the Bible can bless you, how to be blessed by the Bible. If you read the Bible, it will stir up the gift in you. How will it stir up the gift in you? You begin to see certain characters in the Bible, like Deborah. You begin to see like Gideon. You begin to see like Samson. You begin to see like Elijah. You begin to see Esther. You begin to see Naomi. You begin to see Ruth. You begin to see major characters. You begin to see David and Jeremiah and co. All these minor and major prophets, you begin to see them. It will stir up what? The gift in you. And you read the Bible and you see yourself in the Bible, it will stir up your gift. Are you understanding me? You see that Jonah was able to do it, I can do it. You see that Esther found favor before the king, I can. It will stir up what? The gift in you. So you don't become dormant, you don't become dull. You begin to what? Rise up. You begin to rise up. Hallelujah. And that boldness in you begin to come out. Hallelujah. Number two, apart from reading the Bible, what can I do? What can I do to also what? Stir up what? The gift. What I can do is to be able to pray with people. Hallelujah. Corporate what? Prayer. Corporate communion. If you can do it alone, good, and do it in the right spirit. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says that iron what? Iron what? Iron sharpened what? Iron. Hallelujah. My iron will sharpen what? Your iron. So the truth of the matter is that when we come When we come together, hallelujah, when we come together and we come in the spirit of unity, we overcome challenges and difficulties. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. So, you know, when I come together, when I come, you come, we all come together, we pray together, we stir ourselves up. Hallelujah. Amen. Today I see me stand, now I'm stirred up. I'm stirred up. Are you understanding me? He encourages me, I encourage him. I see you, I'm one, I'm stirred up. When we pray together, so that is one thing that, you know, praying together, that the Bible say, wherever two or what, three have gathered, it says, there what I am. So there is something that corporate gathering or coming together can, blessings that can pull. Praying alone cannot pull that blessing. Are you understanding me? There are some walls that can be pulled down when we come together and pray. You being in your single ghetto cannot do that. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. Somebody say, stir up my gift. Say, stir up my gift. So fervent prayer meetings, I repeat, fervent, godly and fervent prayer meetings can stir up what your gift. I want to repeat again. Godly fervent prayer meetings can stir up what? Your gift. Am I communicating? And you can also stir up your gift by fellowshipping with the right word, fellowship. Godly fellowship, not some nyama nyama fellowship. Hallelujah. Godly word fellowship. So I said by what? One word, reading what? Reading the Bible. Number two, prayer meetings. And then number three, godly word fellowship. Are you understanding me? You see, my gift will not be stirred up if I'm always in the house. I'm always in the house. My gift will be stirred up when what? When we commune. Are you understanding me? And sometimes we can testify that you realize that there are times where after staying away for so many months, you feel dull. And you realize that you are drifting gradually, gradually you are what? You are drifting. Are you understanding me? But you see that when in time you have that godly fellowship with the brethren, that commune with the brethren and all that, you begin to realize that what your gift is, what is being stirred. Are you understanding? Because I see how you are praying, I see how you are worshiping. The words that will come from you, the words that will come from her, it is stirring up what? My gift. Are you understanding me? And it helps to conquer what? Fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we want to believe God that as we have learned this about this little fox, you know, that destroys the vineyard, we are going to pray the next 5 minutes. We are going to pray and tell God that, God, we ask that any spirit of fear that has encroached in our life, Lord, take it away. What we have learned today, Lord, help us. Help us to apply it in our life. Scripture says you didn't give us the spirit of fear, but you gave us of what? Of sound mind, of power, and of what? Of love. So I want you to bow down your head and begin to pray and say, Lord, any spirit of fear that has encroached in an area of my life, Lord, I come against in the name of Jesus. It could be your child, it could be a member of your family, it could be yourself, it could be an area, you know, in your life, and you want to pray and say, Lord, help me. Lord, take away that spirit of fear. Begin to pray. It can. You see, one thing is that it can hold you bondage. It can hold you bondage, and you want to pray. You want to pray. The spirit of fear can take you even away from the presence of God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That was such a powerful message from the man of God, Reverend Sydney Alamensa. I believe you have been blessed. God bless you for staying tuned to today's sermon, and Shalom.